Over the last few weeks, we have covered the spiritual gifts of faith, a word of wisdom, and a word of knowledge. As I talked about last week, the gifts of words of wisdom and knowledge are similar but different. And the gift we are talking about today, the ability to distinguish between spirits, the ability to discern the spirit behind a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. I think that almost everyone has discerned the promptings of the Holy Spirit at some point in their lives. These promptings are often the granting of a gift of wisdom and our knowledge. But the gift of distinguishing between spirits is different. Being able to distinguish between spirits is how people can know whether it is the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit that's giving the gift of knowledge and wisdom, or wisdom. This gift of distinguishing between spirits gives us the ability to know whether the wisdom or knowledge that we receive is from the Holy Spirit or from a spirit that means harm. Do you believe that evil manifests in the world today? If your answer to that question is yes, then how do you think it happens? While gifts of the Holy Spirit produce the fruits of the Spirit, manifestations of evil produce their own fruits, and they aren't good. Wednesday night, I had set up for Ash Wednesday different prayer stations, and one of them was the Fruits of the Spirit table. At that table, there were cups containing different fruit juices. I labeled each juice as a fruit of the Spirit, and people had the opportunity to drink the ones that they felt they needed the most. Of course, the available fruits came from Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What I didn't include, but are included in as gifts in the Catholic Bible, were longanimity, modesty, and chastity. All of these are what actions inspired by the gift of the Spirit produce. But what about actions produced by evil spirits? It includes anything that doesn't fall under the list of fruits of the Holy Spirit. Put bluntly, these include the actions produced by evil spirits include anything that lead you or someone else to sin. In our text today, Jesus was in Jerusalem for Passover. Many saw the miracles he performed and believed in his name, but according to our text in John 2, 24 and 25, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. Now, many of the people in Jerusalem saw what Jesus could do. They saw the miracles he performed, and they came professing their belief in him. They wanted to become his disciples, but because he could see what was in each one, he didn't add them to his disciples or count them among his closest people. Through the Holy Spirit, he knew who he could trust, what he could trust, and he knew who of the people around him would help him complete his mission on earth. And just in case you were wondering, his gift of discernment of spirits did not fail him when it came to Judas Iscariot. He knew that Judas would betray him. But he also knew that accomplishing his mission required someone to betray him. Now, if you've noticed throughout these weeks of looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the first examples I have given has always been the example of Jesus and where he put a gift to use. See, Jesus, as the Son of God, Jesus as God, had all of the gifts. We receive the gifts that God decides will further his kingdom. In Acts 9, after Ananias went to Saul and restored his sight, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. He began to preach Jesus as the Son of God, and everyone that heard him was amazed by his preaching because he had persecuted the Jews so badly. A group of Jews made plans to kill him, but some of his followers got him out of Damascus one night by putting him in a basket and lowering the basket through a hole in the city wall. Saul then went to Jerusalem, but the disciples there didn't trust him. And rightfully so. He had spent the entirety of his adult life persecuting Christians. So the disciples thought he was trying to trick them. Barnabas, acting under the gift of discernment of spirits, recognized the Spirit of God within Saul and spoke on his behalf to the disciples. This opened the way for Saul to begin preaching in Jerusalem. Barnabas had no physical way of knowing that Saul was a changed man. The only way he could believe that Saul was now acting as an agent of God was through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why didn't all the believers receive that knowledge? Why did Barnabas have to convince them that Paul had truly changed? It's because, as 1 Corinthians 12:11 tells us, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as directed by God, and these gifts are meant to work together for the good of the church and of God's kingdom. We don't operate as Christians. We don't operate in a void. We don't operate all by ourselves. It takes all of us combining the gifts. Saul, who later on in Acts 13 began using the Greek version of his name, Paul, deserved the doubts of the believers. He had basically been the hitman for Jews working with the authority of Rome. And Satan does his best work through lies and deceptions. The disciples knew that, just as we know that. So it makes sense that they would believe that Saul was trying to trick them. Have you ever had someone come up to you and they're saying all the right things, but you have that feeling that something isn't right? Or maybe they're saying all the right things, but because of certain things in their lives, you have a reason to not believe them. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling the people around you. Verna Lindsay, in her book Gifts of the Spirit, states the gift of discerning of spirits is very important when judging professed inspirational utterances. The gift enables one to distinguish between the expository preaching of the faithful shepherd of the flock and the sounding brass of the pretender. The gift of discerning of spirits often works with words of wisdom and knowledge to expose and rebuke spirits of error. When James and John wanted to call down fire upon certain people, Jesus rebuked them in Luke 9. They didn't know what spirit they were of. James and John, disciples of Christ, were trying to do things from the prompting of evil spirits. The Bible warns us in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. The discerning of spirits is God's answer to Satan's deceptions. I'll tell you a story. On Monday morning, April 25th, 1907, people were going to work in London, England, and they were shocked to see, chalked on the front of the famous city temple, the word Ichabod. The newspapers carried pictures of it that afternoon, calling it an unspeakable desecration. A week or so later, a house painter came forward and admitted that he had chalked the word early that Monday morning. Asked in court why he had done such a sacrilegious thing, the house painter replied, "Dr. Parker told me to do it." Now, Dr. Parker was a former pastor of the city temple, and he was long since dead. So the court asked for an explanation. And the painter explained that he was a Christian and a regular attendant at City Temple during the days when Dr. Parker was the preacher. He told how Dr. Parker had said that if ever the false gospel of the higher critics was preached in the place, Ichabod, which means the glory is departed, should be written over the front of the building. "I did what Dr. Parker asked me to do, sir," the painter said. Now, the painter, while rash in his action, was right in his discernment, because the current preacher there was describing fundamental tenets of the evangelical faith as childish things to put away. The current preacher was even deriding, insulting those that believed that forgiveness comes by the blood of Christ. Not everything religious should be accepted as truly Christian and biblical. To distinguish the evil from the genuine, we need discernment, and we should be especially thankful for those with the gift of discernment. Now, if any of you follow the United Methodist News, then you know that it's been a very busy week. General Conference has been postponed again until the next scheduled conference in 2024. The Global Methodist Church, that had planned to launch in the fall as a landing place for churches who chose to withdraw, depending on how things went at General Conference, well, their launch date has been moved up to the 1st of May. The United Methodist Women began using the Doing Business As name of United Women in Faith. What does any or all of that mean for us in our local churches? Honestly, I don't know. Here's what I do know. Everyone who spouts pious phrases isn't necessarily a genuine teacher for Christ. There are those within all of the groups I just mentioned who do that. They spout pious phrases. They sound good. They sound Christian. But these people are, well, these are who the Holy Spirit is giving me warnings about. However, there are also, within all of these groups, people who this Holy Spirit tells me are working through the Holy Spirit. The morning after all the announcements and changes came down, I woke up to a Bible verse in my head. Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Now, I meditated on that verse as I did my devotional time. And my devotional, my prayer time this week, that morning. Then I got up, checked my email, had an email from the bishop announcing the delay. And his announcement confirmed to me what the Holy Spirit is telling me about all this. Bishop Swanson wrote, "In the midst of much uncertainty about the future of our beloved United Methodist Church, I write to you today to express once again my call to you to be the people of God, guided by a love for Christ and anchored in your vows to be faithful members of the United Methodist Church. I ask that all of our churches and members of those congregations continue to be faithful in our ministry, attendance, and service as we fulfill our mandate to inspire and guide others in becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. In addition, I ask that you continue to offer opportunities for current members to be sanctified by God's grace as we wait. In the meantime, for the convening of the postponed 2020 General Conference. Here is the spirit in which I would have you wait." It's from Philippians 1:27. "Most important, live together in a manner worthy of Christ's gospel. Do this so that you stand firm, united in one spirit and mind as you struggle together to remain faithful to the gospel." The bishop's statement continued and said, "So I'm asking you to not allow this delay to cause you to break covenant with your Mississippi Annual Conference. I challenge you to put your trust in God's ability to lead us to resolve our current disagreements together in an orderly fashion. So join with me in praying that we will. Yours in Christ, Bishop James E. Swanson, Jr." So that said, my pastoral advice to you in the midst of all these changes, in the midst of everything we're hearing, my advice to you is to be still and know that God is in control. In this situation in the church and in life, don't make any decisions until you know more about what is going on in our church and in our conference. Often, people make snap decisions based on feelings brought on by spirits that are not of God. Have you ever wondered how an alcoholic or drug addict can keep drinking or using? Or how one starts back drinking or using after years of sobriety? It's because they don't discern that the spirit that is telling them that they can handle that one drink or that one hit is evil. Have you ever heard of someone doing a thing that makes you scratch your head and wonder, how could they have done that? I follow Shad White's Facebook page. Shad White is the auditor for the state of Mississippi. Almost weekly, if not more often, he makes a post about an official who has embezzled from the state, or embezzled from their community or city. And I often wonder just how someone could be stupid enough to steal money and think they could get away with it. It's because they fell under the influence of an evil spirit and did not discern it. And it's the same thing with anyone who falls into any sin. By all means, sometimes, yes, you have to make a quick decision because there's no time to think it out thoroughly. However, you can almost always take the time to see what the consequences of the decision will bring. Does it bring the fruits of the Spirit? Name me any sin that brings the fruits of the Spirit. So often, y'all, even those of us that are in church, most every Sunday morning, listen to that evil spirit that says, oh, you can read your Bible later on. You'll have more time. Or you can wait until later and say that prayer or give God time to speak to you. Or you can continue in this little sin. No one's going to know and no one's going to notice. And all the while, the Holy Spirit is at the same time speaking to you not to listen to these evil spirits. But again, and I've said it time and time and time again over the last few weeks, we keep the Holy Spirit in that box and we don't hear Him. Loved ones, the closer you are to God, the more you stay in His Word, the more you recognize the true Spirit of God, the more you will recognize the true Spirit of God. And the more often you recognize that Spirit, the more you come to depend on that Spirit, the more times you let the Spirit speak while you listen, the more gifts you will find that the Holy Spirit will bestow on you. Bow your heads with me, please. Holy Father, thank you for wisdom from your Word and for guidance from your Spirit. Thank you for leading us and making your wisdom available to us. Lord, we know that without you, we will make foolish, selfish, sinful choices that do not bring you glory or expand your kingdom. Grant to us discernment. Help us to understand your will and your way in all circumstances. Give us conviction to do what is right and peace to know it is your leading and the insight to see when we're trying to discern in our own power rather than yours. Grant us wisdom to walk through life safely and in a manner that glorifies you. Show us in the times of trial and when we're being tempted. Show us that we can lean on you. Father God, we want to live lives that are Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. Father, teach your people to follow the path you set before us, to run this race with endurance and to finish well. Make us discerning, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.